Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Wait, wait.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 190, here as always with the feverish Fanero and FF underscore spaceman. Spaceman, I want that to roll off my tongue better, spaceman. I'm making a nickname for you this weekend. We are going to tear into this second round a little bit quicker. We want to get through some more players. Going to just throw it right to Dave, 201. We teased you with the last show. Dave, what are you doing with this bad boy?
I'm going Rondale Moore, baby. My wide receiver two, still in my rankings. He was wide receiver. I think I took him 108 in our pre-draft, 110. And I'm ecstatic to get him here at 201. This is how I would love to draw it up. I think landing in Arizona is probably one of the more ideal landing spots for him. I would have loved to have seen a little bit higher draft capital, but hopefully in that offense they could use him, you know, out of the backfield, some sweeps, some, you know, as that yak monster with DeAndre Hopkins there drawing some coverage. A lot of things to like about Rondale Moore here at 201 for me personally.
Yeah, Dave, I don't hate it at all.
Dave, this is our flip right here. Like we talked about this a couple episodes ago, how I was higher on Waddle than you were, and you've come up. I was lower on Rondale Moore, and I've come up too. I snagged him in one of my drafts and felt just really damn good about it. One, because I was at the 211 and had to trade up to get him. Two, just because once you own him, you just start writing this narrative in your head, because that offense, the pass attempts, the quarterback, the fact that Kirk has really not panned out. To be honest with you, Hopkins is great to have alongside of him. I love it. There's just so many things that he's really grown on me. I love the pick there at 201.
Tears rolling down my cheek there when I heard you talking like that.
Where would that put you at 202, Fanero?
All right, so guys, I'm going to be totally honest with you, and I think our listeners are going to hate hearing this, but I'm just being honest with you. There's four wide receivers from 201 to 204 that literally change for me every single day. And it's bothering the hell out of me. I need to make a decision. I made one tonight. I'm going Terrace Marshall here at 202. He's instantly the wide receiver two. There's some question marks at quarterback, but I feel like they're settled in there. I like the fact that they stuck with him through the draft. I do believe Terrace Marshall I loved him going into this entire process. I loved Terrace Marshall. And I know you know that, Swags. I have him in a Debbie League. And for me, Terrace Marshall, the talent and the ceiling is very high.
The speed, the size,
yeah,
the
situation. There's just so much there to like.
Yeah.
So now you – like, because he's one of those wide receivers that actually landed in a spot where we're excited.
Yep.
Is he ever going to be the wide receiver one there? Not with Moore. That's correct. But come on, guys, there's only 12 wide receiver ones. Like, these guys aren't all going to be wide receiver ones. This is a great landing spot. This is a great talent. I love his upside.
Yep.
He's also a little bit more, like, old school. And he's not this, you know, Waddle who can just, like, just fly. He's not this 4-2 guy, 4-3 guy. He's the complete package.
Yeah.
And he's in a good situation. He's got to believe in Sam Darnold or not. That's going to be your argument for bumping him down from here, because there's another two wide receivers I like quite a bit, but I decided to go Terrace Marshall.
I'm disappointed with this pick. I feel very sniped and taken advantage of. and I thought you would pick somebody else. It's just a mock, but gosh, I really got disappointed there. But I'm going to go Trey Sermon. I would have really went Marshall if he went to me here, no matter, even if Sermon was on the board. But with you taking Marshall, I am going to my RB4 in this class, Trey Sermon. I love the landing spot. I'm not worried about any of the other Jags on that team. Honestly, it's Trey Sermon.
Deviation alert. Trey Sermon jumps from the 212 previously picked by Swags in our pre-NFL draft mock all the way up.
Wrapped it up with him. So, I mean, I've kind of liked him. I mean, but this spot is great, dude.
Yeah, 203 to San Francisco. I think you have to entertain the possibility that he's in the committee for more than 1 year. I don't think anybody really wants to talk about it because
I think that's all people are entertaining.
Well, then I think we need to talk about it because what is his ceiling being mixed in with two or three other running backs?
I think at worst he's the second best running back day one. At worst,
okay. I don't think you're wrong about that.
And I think that in that offense, I think that's a damn good situation.
Okay.
And that's, I'm saying at worst.
Yeah, I can't go Trey Sermon before those four wide receivers. After those four wide receivers, I'm going to consider it.
To me, like, context matters. And you're fine with four wide receivers. And then the next running back to me, I'm not fine with. I'm going to get my wide receiver later because I know the picks I have, and I'm going to find somebody that I'm happy with.
You're talking about, like, in this mock because you have four picks in the round? Or do you mean, like, in a real draft where you're actually picking 203 and you won't pick again until the third round?
I mean, in this mock, and I have a lot of weird mocks where I have, like, a 202 and a 206 or a 207. Yeah. Like, that's my reality.
I think that needs to be said, though. Like, if you're saying I'm comfortable taking the running back here because a wide receiver will fall to me, the context you're using is you get to pick again in two or three picks.
I would take Trey Sermon if I didn't have those picks.
That's my question. All right. So you have Trey Sermon above the other wide receiver.
I'm happy with this pick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And my question is, because I think we have to understand that Trey Sermon, let's say he is the second best running back on the team and produces, and because he's a running back in a good offense,
I think he's the best.
His value goes up.
I'm assuming he's the best. I said at worst, that's what he is.
Right. So you clearly have what is his bust potential in your mind? Zero? Because every player has a bust potential, right? I'm just curious, what is his bust potential?
I mean, I don't know how to answer that.
Okay, fair enough.
The same as anybody's.
How safe is he in your mind? How safe is he in your mind? I'll reverse it.
He is, I don't know quite how to answer this question,
safe,
to be completely
very
honest
safe.
With you.
How about very safe or safe?
Just as safe as any quarterback drafted after Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
Not safe at all. None of them are. Like, that's just the reality here. I mean, anything could happen, but I'm playing a game where I want to put points into my lineup this year, and I have an opportunity to get somebody that I think can do that.
And that's
what I'm going for here. I don't know. I don't need all these wide receivers that are probably not going to hit year one or two, quite honestly. I'll get them from you later. That's how I play this game.
Year one production, right? Best chance of year one production in this set of three or four players, right? Best chance.
For me, like, after Dave took Rondale Moore and then you took Marshall, I feel good about this. Like, I agree with you. Like, and I don't want to say the wide receivers' names that, like, I kind of have grouped with Rondale and Marshall there that are similar, but I like them that much more than the next guys, even though I agree it's really close. But here I'm taking Trey Sermon. I mean, get on board. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. So if I challenge or ask a question, it doesn't mean it's necessarily my feeling. And I do definitely think that consensus is that he's the RB4. There's clearly no one else that's RB4. And I feel like it's based on his situation. So I just wanted to ask you what you felt about that.
I mean,
situation.
You want to talk That's about it. Players that, like, had an opportunity after doing nothing. Like, look at Raheem Mostert's first 5 years of, like, no stats. I mean, the dude's, like, 29, 30 years old. 49ers moved up to take Trey Sermon. Last time they drafted a running back was 2017, Joe Williams.
So just to weigh in a little bit on the Trey Sermon pick, he is definitely my RB4. And I agree with how kind of Swags is kind of answering this a little bit in the fact that, especially at this range in any rookie draft, I don't really care about bust potential whatsoever, actually. I care, with a lot of rookie picks, I've kind of been on the – anyone can bust. Anyone can suck. We don't – I don't really know how to quantify risk at all really in fantasy because I don't think we have enough information. So, and if you look at like, that's actually been doing a little project reading for myself is trying to like look at like in outside of fantasy football, looking at risk. And actually a lot of mistakes with risk and not quantifying risk is that it's incomplete. And that's how people have too much confidence. And so that's why I don't really care about risk. So I think we should be worrying about upside. However, my question was, so that's what I will say about Swags and the Sermon pick. But I will say my question with Sermon is, I think people are forgetting, not just saying that Swags is forgetting, but I think sometimes the narrative with Sermon is that I think people are forgetting that that Trey Lance was drafted there. And I think it's almost a J.K. Dobbins all over again in that there's not a lot of running back targets that are going to be going to Trey Sermon. He's going to be a one and two, one at first down and second down grinder for me. And I like to have receptions for my running backs. That's my only, concern, but that's a really big concern I have with Trey Sermon. So, and not necessarily the competition either. It's just more that one and two ground down.
I think that's a good point, though. I don't hate that point. I think that Gus Edwards and the Mark Ingram that was on the Ravens last year is they're both better than anybody on the 49ers. I think we're giving those running backs way too much credit because of the quick spurts we've seen from them here and there. They're like the Will Fullers of running backs, and they just go away. You never could start them, maybe a week or two. You paid too much for them 1 week because you thought you needed a running back. You threw them in your lineup. Then they got hurt, and they were on to the next one. It's how it played out. And people remember those high notes, and they want them back. But I don't know. That's how I feel. I think that he walks in there as the best running back on the team.
Yeah, and like I said, that's why
in a great situation.
It wasn't that. Yeah, that, my point was that I don't necessarily disagree, and I liked a lot of where you're coming from about shooting for upside. But I just want to add to that piece about Trey Sermon. So I think we're on 204 here, and I have to go, and I think I'm going to that wide receiver, and it's Rashad Bateman. What I like a lot about Rashad Bateman is that I think that he can become that primary target. I think he can earn more. I think, well, first as a prospect, I think he's a great prospect. There's a lot to like about him as a prospect. And I think that when you see these top number one targets in offenses, and even in low volume offenses, I'm not necessarily worried about the overall volume. If he hits like I think he can because of prospect profile, I think he can overtake Mark Andrews easily, Marquise Brown easily, and not worry about it. It's more of those second and third degree options I'm worried about. And I'm happy to get Rashad Bateman here.
So Bateman dropped three spots in our pre-draft.
Who took him? I might be able to figure that out. You took him.
No.
Dave took him?
Yep.
I was going to say, please don't tell me I took him.
I think we know how you feel about Rashad Bateman and the pass offense in Baltimore. And honestly, dude, you're starting to rub off on me, and that's a good thing.
Sorry, man. People are going to be so mean to you about it.
the only thing is I heard today that Marquise Brown had a 30% target share last year. Is that right, Dave?
Down the stretch, he most certainly did. I'm not sure about for the season. I know, especially down the stretch. I can check on it a little bit if you want me to.
And but still it sucked.
I mean, right. He had some
flash
points
down this.
But that's because he's Marquise Brown. You know what I mean? I feel like Marquise Brown isn't Rashad Bateman. I'm willing to say that right now.
I 100% agree with that. But I was also here, and I'm not saying from on this show, not at all, but I was here in this world when Hollywood Brown was going to save the team.
Yes, yes.
So, but I agree, Bateman over Hollywood.
Right. So,
I agree, dude.
But I'm doing a lot of bad math here, and what I'm saying is if Bateman, say year two, right, was to earn a 30% target share, that's what he would need and be efficient, obviously, like Marquise Brown wasn't, to get us to the point where we loved him in the pre-draft analysis, right? Because nobody likes the landing spot. Nobody's in love with it. Go ahead, Dave. You looked it up?
It was down the stretch, it was over 30%, but it was for the season, it was 23%.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so nobody's getting that.
When I play catch with my son, he gets 100% target share.
What's his catch radius?
I mean, it's pretty decent, dude. He's a lot more agile than I am at this point. But I mean, his targets are kind of lousy sometimes. Like I feel bad for him sometimes. Like I'm apologetic though, and I
he might weigh the same as Marquise Brown.
You know, so and with that speed, Marquise Brown should have been able to get open. Marquise Brown has been frustrated with Lamar Jackson. Why do we forget that?
I wish people could have seen that. We just get a little shrug. Little shrug from Swag.
You know why it is, though. It's because he's a cheat code quarterback. Like, what he does for us in fantasy is totally different than what he does for his wide receivers and his weapons. So it's deceiving.
Yeah.
But
like leading the league in touchdowns?
Yeah.
Passing, you know, touchdowns?
Yeah. Probably yards per carry, you know, but so Mr. Feverish.
All right. So I have the 205. This is where it's going to start getting shaky, ladies and gentlemen. This is where it's getting shaky, but not yet. I'm going with Elijah Moore here. I feel like that's the right pick. I know this is tight end premium, but I'm going Elijah Moore. I think that Jamison Crowder is the perfect cut candidate. I believe they saved $10 million and they only have $1 million of dead cap money to get rid of him. I believe that's correct. You guys can check me. But I think Elijah Moore is an immediate replacement, a whole hell of a lot cheaper, and much more athletic. Elijah Moore, 205, and happy about it.
Yeah, I don't hate it at all.
Now, what are you guys going to do?
I know, you have me on the edge of my seat. I'm afraid to pick after Trey Sermon pick.
The problem with me taking Rashad
Bateman. Pick the RB5. Pick the RB5.
The problem with taking Rashad Bateman there is that I don't get Elijah Moore, who I really like. So well done, Finero.
I don't know if it's a well done. I think it's just, honestly, I think this is a teardrop. This is like one of the largest teardrops in the draft. There's a name left.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a name left that I'm not gonna cry about.
I'll take Michael Carter, and we can move on.
Okay.
I've kind of warmed up to the opportunity there. I'm not super into it. I'm never gonna like be trying to jump into your rookie draft really quick to draft Michael Carter, but I like the opportunity that he has there with LaMichael Perine. That's it. So
I would think the situation and opportunity share is better than the San Francisco one, at least year one. But San Francisco is a better team. I'm not going to own any Trey Sermon or Michael Carter. I'll be honest. I'm not going to own either back. I'm out. I'm not going to call him Keyshawn Vaughn. I'm not going to
talk about Trey Sermon the rest of the show.
I appreciate that. You know why? Because it will become a whole show. So
Keyshawn Vaughn is told. That's not fair.
I said I'm not going to call him Keyshawn Vaughn. Keyshawn Vaughn?
Yeah, it's walking a damn line, Finero.
It's
possibly walking a line.
Yeah.
It's entering something in your brain. It's entering something in your brain without actually saying I feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Which means I probably feel a
certain way. Dirty tricks.
Michael Carter goes 206. Michael Carter went 208 pre-draft. Elijah Moore practically landed in the same exact spot, but Spaceman got him in last draft. Where is Spaceman going now?
He's floating away.
You know, this is where, you know, send help. I live in Providence, Rhode Island. I'm going Kadarius Toney here. I've been kidnapped. I didn't ever think there was a situation where I would go Kadarius Toney at any point in a rookie draft, but first round draft capital, the way he can be used in that New York Giants offense, you can try to get excited for it as an athleticism. And, honestly, there's some players that I like that I think I could get later, and there's some hype that I think this would be a pick that I'd be taking to trade or to trade at some point in the offseason when some hype goes around Kadarius Toney.
I'm going to quote Katie Flower again. There's going to be two quotes on Katie Flower. The thing that really stood out for me that she had brought up as a Giants fan, I wasn't hating this pick as much as fantasy people because I thought he would be good for the team. I thought the team would find that kind of player useful. I felt like it was a little bit of overlap with Slayton, but I thought maybe he's just a better Slayton. I mean, he is being picked 20th overall, and a lot of people projected him. No, Katie's quote, thank you, was that the offense is not good at utilizing a player like Toney. Like, they're not inventive. It's not going to be playing up to using him as a gadget player. It's square peg in a round hole. Her quote was basically that the offense is not inventive enough for a player like Toney. Like, he could have gone somewhere else. Why are we still laughing? It took me a while to get to my point, but we're still laughing after I get there.
I mean, it was just funny. It was cute how you quoted somebody and then
Dark. That got me too.
I know. It got you guys for a while though. I didn't know I was that funny. I wish I was that funny.
Oh, you're funny.
All right, so my pick's up, and I'm not picking, obviously, Kadarius Toney and making any more further
I know quotes. Who you're picking.
Yeah, it's easy. Tight end premium, Pat Freiermuth.
Oh, I was wrong.
Oh, now I need to know who you thought I was picking, but...
I was wrong, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm owning more Pat Freiermuth than I even thought I would, and it's because I must be picking around here in too many drafts, but... I'm starting to warm up to him. I know that I definitely came on to the mic with you guys and was concerned about this landing spot. I'm concerned about Pittsburgh, concerned about Ben leaving. I'm concerned about all the other targets in this offense. But in tight end premium this late and the names I'm looking at, I'll take a chance.
Yeah, so you've got me. I had made my decision based on what I assumed I knew you were going to pick. So now I'm kind of like, man, it's making my decision a lot harder. Because I thought I, yeah, so.
I've done this to you twice now. That Marshall one really threw you off.
And so I'm kind of trying to play that game a little bit that we talked about in the first round. And I'm trying to play it and see if I can get one of my guys to fall to me. I'm going to take Diami Brown. I like his landing spot in Washington. Finero, that's who I thought you were going to take, to be honest with you. I'm really happy to have him. Follow me there. I think he's going to be great alongside Terry McLaurin. They're just a quarterback away, so be patient.
Pat Freiermuth went 205 in our pre-draft mock and drops three spots to me at 208. Diami Brown.
Not too bad of a drop, really. Nope. Like, because I'm a little disappointed with the landing spot, but I agree with everything he said.
Diami Brown up five spots from 301.
Wow.
Kadarius Toney up seven spots, I think. That's bad math.
Dave, I feel like I sniped you.
Oh, dude, from that, outer
either
space.
Either that or you know, hated
falling
my
falling back to Earth, like a Russian satellite falling back to space. Here. Oh, my God. I thought for sure, like, if I've seen in drafts I've been in, I've seen Diami Brown fall a lot. And honestly, in my heart of hearts, I think Diami Brown's a better wide receiver than Kadarius Toney. I just think there's a part of it from a fantasy value, and I'm playing the value game with Kadarius.
Me too.
And I'm playing that value game that Swags hates, and a part of me also likes sniping Finero of his players. But no, in all seriousness, no, I do believe that Kadarius Toney will get some hype and I can trade him for a profit from where I take him at 207.
I feel like people either really love Kadarius Toney or they really hate him. Like, I'm having a hard time finding that middle ground. Does that seem sort of true?
I think everybody hates him.
Hmm.
The fantasy community who's a little bit more... Or like our section of fantasy community who's a little bit more analytical. There's a lot of analytical stuff, like stats-driven stuff that come in with Toney. But the football people, your everyday, like, there's a lot of people who love Toney. There's a lot of people who like Toney. So I don't even know what the frick I'm going to do here now. I got
to You're going to do the right thing and let my guy fall to 212 somehow here, Dave.
I'm not letting him fall. So you're not getting him.
This is, I don't even know who your guy is, so I'm looking at my ranks right here, and I'm probably going 2-2 Atwell here.
I own too much of Atwell.
This is early. I'd like to get Atwell later here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got him in the off-the-rails league that Swags are ironing together. I got him at 311, I think, and I was ecstatic for getting him there at 311, and now I'm at 210 or 211 or 210, and I'm getting him here. I would have liked to have some other players I liked more here, or I could have possibly gone quarterback here. And I did go quarterback and off the rails here. I went another quarterback that I think someone's going to go soon. But yeah, so I'm happy because I think Tutu Atwell, there's a lot about him, his electricity. I think people love the electricity of Rondale Moore. Tutu Atwell has that a little bit too. He is a little bit of a playmaker. And he got the draft capital. So and he has a quarterback in that offense. There's things to like about him besides everyone complaining about his weight.
Finero.
You ready for this, Swags?
I
think Swags knows
you go
who
ahead
I
and
think.
Pick.
You
yes.
want me to pick? All right.
Yes.
So I'm going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yes.
From your Detroit Lions.
I love the pick.
And he's basically playing against the practice squad over there. And I believe
that's a good point. Yeah,
it pretty much is. I mean, it's not looking good over there.
Yeah.
So we have some nice opportunity. I would have loved him being a third round pick, or I would have liked another wide receiver to go to that same spot earlier. And I know that you wanted that too. But I'd like him on St. Brown. Yeah. It's not like there was a player that I didn't like pre-draft that went to the Detroit Lions. Fourth round isn't horrible.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Great opportunity, great route runner.
And I think it was a pretty damn early fourth round pick.
Yeah.
So, Amon-Ra, I mean, it's hard to get excited about these late second round picks, but Amon-Ra, at least I feel as though if I don't believe in him, he's at least going to hit enough where I could flip him. Like if I take a look like from further away and I'm honest and I know I got a late second and he's producing enough where his value has gone up for my late second, I might flip him, but I get that opportunity drafting here at 211. I want that opportunity.
So the guy I was hoping would fall to me, and I have him right next to each other in my rankings today, meaning Amon-Ra St. Brown, but the guy I wanted to fall to me was Dwayne Eskridge, second round to Seattle. I really like the longevity of this pick and what I feel Pete Carroll will do with a second round wide receiver as Lockett's going to be nearing the end of the road, kind of like Baldwin was when Lockett came in, and now Metcalf comes in. Seattle does an amazing job of rotating these wide receivers, and I want Dwayne Eskridge from my Western Michigan University here, and I really feel great about this pick. Might have surprised you a little bit, though.
A little bit, yeah, because Lockett's under contract until – he's not a free agent until 26.
Yep.
I mean, they can get out of it if they wanted to, for sure.
Lockett is maybe one of Lockett is an amazing value in Dynasty.
They just re-signed him.
Yeah.
But, dude, one thing I was a little surprised about, and I'm sure you two won't be, especially numbers guy down there, but Russell Wilson top 10 in pass attempts the last 2 years?
I'm surprised by that, too.
I wanted to take a peek at it. It wasn't until, like, 2018 he was 20th. That's about what I think of when I think of Russell Wilson. Right around that area, middle of the pack. Maybe towards 20. Top 10, 2 years in a row. Last year he had 585 attempts. These are healthy attempts. The year before, 591 pass attempts. I think he can support a wide receiver 3.
What's crazy about those pass attempts, though, I think down the stretch with Russell Wilson, it fell by like 5 pass attempts per game. That just shows you what kind of pace they were on before they just totally turtled.
I finally got rid of my last Russell Wilson share just because of what he does to you at the end of the season, like himself. Really, yeah. But
I don't hate the Dwayne Eskridge, dude.
I like him here, man. Yeah.
Yeah, this late.
Dave, what are you doing at 3-0 to the 1?
So this is actually, I did not think this guy would fall to me. I think I'm going Davis Mills here. I think this is a super flex value. I honestly, after I took Rondale Moore, I probably would have just left the draft and say, hey, auto pick for me, people. That's how excited, like, that's how that, maybe an Elijah. I love Elijah Moore. But, like, that's how just excited I was at the 201. And then I a couple players, of course. But now I'm just like, okay, I'll just try to play some fantasy. Hope if a guy hits, he hits. Davis Mills, maybe he gets some opportunity. I think he's definitely going to get on the field this year, unless something happens, another veteran coming in. So that's why I'm kind of going Davis Mills.
Yeah, and I think this is a spot you take him. You know, I've taken him earlier than this and seen him gone anywhere from like 207 to 209 to this like 304 area. So 301, I don't hate it at all. Curious, how do you feel about Davis Mills, Finero?
I own a lot of Davis Mills, and it's for this exact reason you guys are talking about. This is the time to take shots in Superflex, and if Mills is your number one guy, go for it. I mean, I have Mills, and well, I won't mention any names, but I have a lot. I have all three of these backup quarterbacks very similarly rated. So if Mills is your guy, I won't fault you. I do have somebody I like a little bit more.
And there's the thing: I feel like everybody in your rookie draft is hoping that Davis Mills falls to them.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Kind of everybody's kind of eyeing him up and wondering when that right area is to pounce on him.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like he is the quickest return on value right now, just in case it doesn't all pan out. Cause I don't think he's their quarterback for the future, but I think that like, he's probably, once he's on somebody's roster, the pick value completely goes away, and everybody that wished they went earlier or grabbed him is kind of like starting to create these narratives themselves. I'll tell you what, I love the pick. Like I said, I've got a lot of him. I like him less this week because I went out and I watched Davis Mills play some college games. And it scares me to think of him in the NFL with how bad I felt like he looked in some of those games that I watched since the last time we talked about. Honestly, that's what I did. And now I'm kind of like, oof. Like, if he did that bad at the college level, how is he going to do at the pro level? That's where my head is at this point. I kind of feel like you can do very well with him in your dynasty leagues right now just by moving on. Is that crazy?
No, absolutely.
But I love the pick, Dave. I agree with it.
I think Spies just set me up for a Davis Mills offer and off the rails. That's what I think he's trying to do.
Do I have Davis Mills in there?
No, I do, and you're coming for him.
I'm not. I don't think I can afford him in a weird way. Right. Like, I don't think I'm willing to pay the, you know, and I don't know if he's a first. Maybe it's to you. I'm not saying he's not, but I don't think I'm willing to pay the price that I perceive he's worth when you – after you draft him. And maybe I'm totally off on this and how people feel about him, but I feel like if I paired him with the right player, I could pair him with like a wide receiver I feel is inadequate and get a nice upgrade and not have to worry about anything about Davis Mills ever again. But
I'm just taking him because I'm forced to.
No, I like it though. I like it, dude. I think he could absolutely have an opportunity, you know. So, but Finero 302.
So I'm gonna base this pick off of what I see happen in I think I had 6 rookie drafts to date, and I've seen it happen in pretty much every single one. I'm not saying this happens necessarily 1, 2, 3, but it pretty much does.
Yeah,
it really does. Once you see one go, there's a little bit of a panic, and I'm gonna follow suit. Kyle Trask, under the tutelage of Tom Brady, one injury away from being at the helm of a Super Bowl team, already practicing out there with Tom Brady, or at least talking about doing that. And worst case scenario, Tom Brady plays 2 or 3 more years, and he just gets that much more experience underneath, and maybe comes out that much more ready. So Kyle Trask, I think, is a nice stash in the early third round at 302.
Yeah, I agree. If Brady goes down, think about that value increase. Yeah.
So I had to do it here.
Not that we wanted it's to, also, honestly, but if he does,
yeah,
wow.
Right.
So I'm going to talk about somebody really quick. I would actually make this move, so I'm not just like doing this for shits and grins, but somebody that I really think that you could get in this area that could possibly help your teams, and that's Nico Collins. Took the year off for Michigan, lands in a spot where he could have a great opportunity behind Brandon Cooks. It's with the Texans. I really like his size, what he could be. I think he could be a sleeper in this draft class. So I'm taking Nico Collins at 303.
He's my highest rated wide receiver at this point. So
yeah.
Yeah. And that just leaves me to make another pick, or else I cannot trade out of this pick. So I'm probably going to, you know what?
I'll give you a 312 that I don't even have, 'cause I think we're only going to 30s. I'll give you a 312 and a 402 from 2022.
No, I'll go. I think I'm going to switch it up here and go positionally. Fudgesicles. I don't know what to do here. I'm going Elijah Mitchell, running back. I'm going to play the Trey Sermon arbitrage pick and just say, like, hey, like, let's see what happens. There's a lot that I liked about Elijah Mitchell.
Second best running back on the team. Some say he's the first.
Yeah. Some say I'll just take this as an arbitrage play. I don't think that I do not obviously have Elijah Mitchell ranked over Trey Sermon or anything like that. But we've seen Kyle Shanahan play players over Joe Williams, who he put draft capital in, over Tevin Coleman, who had draft capital. So he will play whoever he thinks the best player is.
All right. So I do know who I'm going to pick next. I was going to take another shot at a wide receiver here, and I had a decent reason for it. But I'm going to go Chuba Hubbard. It's time. 305 behind CMC, one injury away. We saw what Mike Davis was able to do. They were so impressed with Mike Davis, they just moved on from him. I like Chuba Hubbard. I like Chuba Hubbard in this spot, this late. He could, dude, who knows? I mean, maybe they even learn a lesson from all the carries they're giving CMC. Maybe I even get a little production alongside of CMC. I'm taking Chuba Hubbard.
I have Chuba Hubbard ranked higher than Elijah Mitchell. I think he's a better player than Elijah Mitchell, so good pick.
I'm taking Brevin Jordan, wrapping it up with a tight end. some of the same reasons I said about Nico Collins, to be honest with you. I know that tight ends don't usually prosper in this offense, but they have nobody there really that I really like after Brandon Cooks. So, and I think it's kind of a deal. I'll try to be patient with my Brevin Jordan shares, but that's who I'm taking. Finero, we'll start with you this time. The same question we asked after round one. What's one thing you just don't like, or maybe something you like that happened, or something?
In round two, let's see.
Two and a half.
Yeah. For me, it's probably, wow. I mean, this, it's probably Tutu Atwell. I'm just staying away. I just feel like this is another second round pick, and I think we're chasing the capital here. They did the same thing the previous year with Van Jefferson. I don't know, man. I think I'm just out on Tutu Atwell. And with that said, I think I own too much of him. And I think that's the reason. I'm just really feel like somewhere I'm not even getting him here at 210. I'm getting him in the third round. So I'm not there with him. I think I would like to get out of the shares I do have, to be honest.
What about you, Dave?
Honestly, I think I'm out on Dwayne Eskridge. He's an older player. I don't think I have anyone in my database without a who's that old who is a top 24 wide receiver. That's just how I'm approaching it. I don't hate it from your point of view. I think, you know, invest the draft capital. I think he's athletic. There's a lot of things to like about him. Just for me,
but you hate the player or where I took him. I know I'm not allowed to retort, but I guess I don't understand exactly what you're saying.
Everything.
Okay. Yeah,
I think he said he's just out. So you wouldn't even draft Eskridge in, like, I don't know, late third.
I would do it in. I have a couple players I still would take over Eskridge that we haven't talked about.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fair. I mean, if you're down on the guy, I was just curious, like, you know, because just to Swag's question, like, was it where he drafted him, or are you just, because I think most.
Yeah, you're just gamers. Like, I just want to kill him. Like,
no, most just, fantasy like, gamers aren't usually out, like completely out. So I was just curious where your line was, and it sounds like late third you'd probably pick him at that point.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Maybe. I'm close.
Have
to
you
out.
Honestly
close
seen
out.
The next players coming up here? Dave's like, nah, give me Seth Williams in Denver.
Yeah.
I'll take Tom Wallace for sure.
I'll be completely. I don't want anybody on the Ravens though. Give me a quarterback and I don't want Bateman because he's on the Ravens. But I understand this pick. Honestly, I'm having a hard time like picking something that stands out to me that either triggers me in a positive or a negative way with just the way I know these picks fall and how the odds get. If anything, I mean, I guess the one player I'm out on the most is Kadarius Toney, and at least for but even when I look at that, I have a hard time like putting Pat Freiermuth in front of him or even Diami Brown, so I can't knock it that much, to be honest with you. I completely get it, so it's really tough for me. This is a tough one. If anything, I don't want Chuba Hubbard, but even that, like, what the hell are you supposed to do at 305? Like, that's why I'm having such a hard time. Like,
that might be a nice drop for the new intro. So, what the hell are you supposed to do at 305?
You know what I mean? Like, you got the handcuff to one of the best running backs in the league. Like,
dude, there's nobody
awesome.
There.
Yeah, if he goes down, you have something that I feel is better than Mike Davis behind McCaffrey. Right. You know what I mean? But so it's so hard for me to go through any of this and scrutinize it, to be completely honest with you. So I'm just going to leave it at that, man. This second round, like these 18 picks we did here today, like there are some areas where it's get your guy area, you know? And if you have any questions, again, you can hit any of us up anytime, but I have trouble. I understand the narratives to all of these picks, so I have trouble with it, to be honest with you.
I think the moral of the story is get your guy as long as it's not Tutu Atwell.
I think the moral of the story is that honestly, it doesn't matter. You should trade it up for another pick.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you listen to Swags on Super Flexible, you would have gotten that advice a week before the draft.
I tried. It was a little short. I should have had that out earlier.
I'm going to mark it in my calendar for next year.
Yeah. Many will seek advice. Only the wise will listen. I am Swagzilla0G.
I'm the Feverish Finero. You can find me at Aardvark TV.
And I guess I'm just FF underscore spaceman.
Just.
Oh, gosh.
At least he didn't hit you with the intro right in the middle of your at.
It's paybacks.
Luckily, I put a dramatic pause there anyway. At.
It was almost cooler.
Barsicles.
So, yeah, I want to trade Davis Mills away. But every time I go to, I kind of am like, yeah, do I want to trade him away? Yeah. Like, what can you really get, you know?
Exactly.
And in our boxer, you are all hot and bothered by him, too.